Welcome back, everyone, to the V Book Club podcast. I'm so excited to be here today at Emerald Coast Theater Company in Grand Boulevard with the founders, co-founders, Nathaniel and Anna Fisher. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So let's get right into it. I want to know a little bit about how the theater company got started. So it's in its 13th year, just celebrated 13 years, which is incredible. Tell me just what made you want to start a theater company here in Walton County, and how did you go about that process?
Go ahead. You start.
Well, Anna is a Destin native, and she's from here. And so back in 2012, we were in transition, and I was finishing up my MFA in acting at Regent University, and Anna had just completed her MA. And I had a job offer in Barbourville, Kentucky, and my father-in-law said, good for you, you got a job. Mm-hmm. There's got to be something better for you than moving your family farther away. He's like, why don't you just move here and for a year move in with us and just see what would happen. Mm-hmm. And Emerald Coast Theater Company is kind of what happened.
Okay.
You know, once we knew we were moving here, we just really started digging into the art scene. Mm-hmm. And just noticed that there was no opportunities for elementary school kids in Okaloosa or Walton to get involved in theater. You had to wait till high school.
Right.
And there was one small program in Okaloosa for middle school children. So there's hundreds of children that had no access mm-hmm. to theater education. And because of our background, we just started really digging into the art scene, what was here. Because Anne is from here and visiting, you know, 2-3 times a year, we'd seen the growth of the area and noticed, you know, the people that are moving here, they're from markets that are used to having access to the arts.
Right.
And so it just, I don't know, the fact God kind of just made the path a little bit clear of like, uh-huh. well, Anne and I looked at each other, I guess we're supposed to start a theater company.
I guess we're doing this. So it really started for the kids.
Absolutely.
Not so much yeah. like the more adult shows. Like, so it started as an educational opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, it was yeah. both, but yes.
Well, we launched with education yeah. programming. Mm-hmm. And when we saw success in that, and we after we'd moved here and really were able to dig in, we noticed that, you know, there seemed to be an opportunity to professional too. But and we both have a background in theater education, mm-hmm. and obviously theater affected us as children, right. you know, or as grownups. And so so that was 10 children in an after-school class at Destin Elementary School in January of 2013. Uh-huh. It's kind of where it began.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were in the schools. Did you have a space, you know, like this? So now we're in this huge
no.
this huge space where you've got multiple stages and a huge backstage and an office. So how did that all come about?
So I will answer that question.
Okay.
So when we started, we were itinerant mm-hmm. for 4 years, and we would just pack up what we needed. If it was a set, if it was props, if mm-hmm. it was costumes, whatever it was packed up into our car, and we would go to the place that we had, which was usually the Destin Community Center, or we did a lot of after school things in the schools. Uh-huh. And we would just take what we needed there, and we would set up, and we would do that, and we would have the class or the show or whatever, and then we'd tear it all down and we'd right. put it back in our garage. Well, it took over our garage, uh-huh. it took over our kitchen table, it took over our living room. Eventually, it took over across the street at my dad's shed in his garage. Mm-hmm. And so after about 4 years, we were very, very grateful when Grand Boulevard generously offered us the use of the space, which is we've been here since 2016.
Okay.
So.
Wow, yeah, 10 years in this space.
Yes.
And, like, if you haven't been here, people, it's incredible. Like, the stage, the sets that you guys are able to do, to build, it's, I mean, like, it's truly a huge, like, professional production here.
Thank you.
I mean, I haven't seen anything else like it in this area, and just want to say, like, congratulations. And obviously, you know, you have the awards back here to back up everything that you're doing. So you just are rounding out season 13 right now. You have Mystic Pizza coming up. So tell us a little bit about that show.
Oh my, we are so excited about Mystic Pizza. Of course, the film was Julia Roberts' breakout film.
Yes.
And so it is just the consummate romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's everything we need right now, because yes, we need to laugh, we need to love, we just need to have fun. And so Mystic Pizza just, it fills that. And the on top of that, not only being a fun romantic comedy, the soundtrack is just, it's really great.
Oh, it's so good.
Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Yeah. I Think We're Alone Now. I mean, it's just all these like 80s, 90s, early 90s hits that, and we've got a live band on stage.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're super excited about Mystic Pizza.
That's amazing. So that you had that one, and then just finished up an Elephant and Piggies We're in a Play,
yes,
which was like super cute. And you had Murder on the Orient Express. So your whole season is very diverse. How do you decide what's going to be, you know, within one season of shows?
That's a great question. We get asked that a lot, actually.
Okay.
And Nathaniel and I and the rest of our executive team, we read plays all year long. And when I say we, I mean Nathaniel reads the bulk of them, and then he passes to me what he thinks, you know, could possibly... passes the cut. And then... you know, we jump in and we all have different ideas, but we do know there are certain things we want within a season. We want some, you know, great big, you know, stories, big musicals. We want, everybody loves a murder mystery, so we're always looking for good murder mysteries, you know. And we always want to do a family theater offering like Elephant and Piggy or something for families. But a lot of times there's at least two or three shows that families can come to that are appropriate for all ages. So we really just try to put a mix in there of you know, we want to keep it inspiring, heartwarming. We like things that have, you know, some heart to them, but are also fun and entertaining.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And with the, you know, speaking of family friendly, all the educational programs that you do bleed over into the professional shows as well, where some of the kids who are your students audition and are in those, like Annie, you had so many of the orphans who were here in your shows, and now you're doing Annie Kids, which I'm excited to say that my niece is playing Annie in one of the productions.
Oh, fun.
So I'm super excited to see that one. But how do you decide what the kids are going to do? So you have that one, and you have Newsies, also coming up. So what's the process for getting the kids in there, auditioning? How many of them, like, do they all make it in? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'll answer. First, I'll answer. The way that we choose the material is, I really like shows that have a large ensemble presence, which means all of the students have multiple chances to be on stage and be engaged throughout the show. So I'm always looking for the shows that have lots of ways to engage the entire cast. So that's always my first thing that I look for. And then I also, especially for our older, like middle to high school students, we send out surveys, and I'm always asking the kids, what are your top shows you want to do next? And because, you know, for that age group, they're going, they want to do these certain shows. These got these shows on their bucket list they want to do. And it's usually shows that we want to do too. So we just try to, you know, find out what they're interested in and what works with the production team, because it also, we have to make sure that whatever sets we are creating, and when I say we, I mean my production team, Becca, Becca Lake, and Carl, and, you know, all,
Taylor,
I mean, I could go on, Aura, everybody,
Gavin.
Trenton, Gavin, everybody. When they're, we have to, you know, make sure that the shows that we're choosing work with what they're creating, what they're building, what they have to do throughout the season. And so it's a lot of checks and balances to make sure that everybody's on board with whatever we choose. So
One of the things we're passionate about, and my good friend Shirley Simpson, she's passed, but she used to really always talk about how impressed she was that as an organization, she'd been involved in theaters across, you know, the Southeast for years and years and years. And she would always say, you guys put the same production quality and heart behind the education program that you do the professional program.
Yes.
And that always honored me, because we don't consider the education a second thing we do. Mm-hmm. It's really a primary, like we have two primary things we do, and we really hold value that part of the experience for that child is that Taylor has designed a costume for them.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't matter if it's Annie Kids or the professional version uh-huh. of Annie, they've got a costume designer that's picked a costume for mm-hmm. them, you know,
it
and
shows.
Gavin uh-huh. puts, you know, even, you know, Gavin, they put the mic on the child, you know,
yeah.
and so it's really making sure that experience is just as elevated and as important as the professional program.
Mm-hmm.
And then to answer the second part of your question, we take all the children. So
yes.
they sign up for the classes, they pay tuition, and then we do hold auditions during class time. The auditions are really to place the children mm-hmm. where we feel they would shine the best, where their comfort level is, where their skill level is, and where we feel like they would do the best. And so we do hold auditions. The auditions are really for placement.
Right.
So it's not the type of situation where you're either in or out based uh-huh. on an audition. We do have an audition-based summer camp, which is
okay.
coming up this summer, Hadestown.
Okay.
We are doing an audition-based uh-huh. summer camp for that. And so, but most of our other classes are... You get
yeah.
to be in.
You
get
yeah,
to,
I mean,
you get
you know,
to be
you
a part of
to,
it. Yeah.
To give them that opportunity yeah. to try
yes.
and see if they like it and
yeah.
learn. And like you said, I mean, even having the professionals come in, doing the costumes, doing the choreography, what an incredible thing that these kids get to do and learn from the process of if they're going to keep doing theater as they get older, then they're already in it. You know, they
yeah.
already have a leg up on things like that. So that's really special, I think. You told a really, really sweet story at your Le Vin Rouge gala, which was celebrating, you know, your yearly fundraiser. And it was about one of your students who recently got some callbacks. Will you tell that again? Because that one just like, it made me tear up.
Yes. Okay, so.
We actually have new information. Because
okay. We do have new
yeah.
information.
Oh, great. So we get an update.
Yeah.
So Maggie, she's one of our seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she's here all the time volunteering. She works a lot with our costume designer, Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And so she actually costume designed Elephant and Piggy.
Okay.
She has costumed some of our other family theater shows, some of the other educational shows. She's here as much as she can be
mm-hmm.
working on costumes, but also, you know, participating on stage as well. She's really fantastic on stage and off stage. And so she recently went to the Southeastern Theater Conference, which is where a lot of up-and-coming juniors and seniors will go to audition for colleges.
Mm-hmm.
She went there, she auditioned, and she got... At the event, we said she got 13 callbacks.
Uh-huh.
She actually got 21 callbacks.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is really... really amazing
yeah.
and really unusual. And so we're just so proud of her, because she's taking all the opportunities that there are here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want. I think of our theater with our students as like a big lab. You know, like you're here, if there's something you're really interested in, usually there's a way to learn more about it. You know, you can be involved in so many different ways, on stage and off stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that Taylor is really good about if a student shows interest. She's so good about taking them and mentoring them and teaching
uh-huh.
them. And, you know, we have different students who end up in the tech booth, and they just
mm-hmm.
they love stage management, or they love lighting design, or any of the millions of things you can do off stage. And
right.
I love that. The students are here learning about all the things there are to know about theater.
Mm-hmm. That was going to be one of my questions too, was
yeah.
whether they get a lot of the backstage experience too, which
yeah.
is really great. What was your, so when you were both growing up, like, you know, as theater kids, as we were, what was your thing? Like, were you more on stage? Were you more backstage, or a little bit of both?
I'll let Nathaniel answer
yeah.
first, and then I have to.
I actually didn't have access to theater until
mm-hmm.
I was like a junior in high school.
Okay.
And boy, once I did, it was a whole world opened up for me. You know, I grew up in a home that was kind of on the lower socioeconomic end of things. Mm-hmm. And so it was really eye-opening to me of like, wow, you can tell stories in this way.
Right.
And so I did go straight to college then, and, you know, studying theater. And so I was more on the performer side. Mm-hmm. All through even like my work study at college I was a master carpenter.
Uh-huh, okay.
So I was on stage, but I always found in grad school, I helped in the costume shop as a work study, you know? Mm-hmm. So kind of speaks to how Emerald Coast Theater Company even came about, is because, you know, though I did work as a professional actor, but I also had these side jobs that helped sustain the career in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
Along with teaching. Yeah, so it kind of informs everything.
Yeah. What was your first role on stage?
Well, yeah, if we go back that early, when I was, my mom told me stories. When I was 3 years old, I played Farmer McGregor, and they had a... And I sang "If All the Raindrops Were Lemon Drops and Gumdrops,"
uh-huh.
And they had on cardboard clouds, they had glued gumdrops and lemon drops.
Okay.
And while I was singing, some of them started dropping off.
Right.
So it really was raining. So I don't know. Maybe that was
the production value here.
I know,
right?
Yes. Really high production.
But yeah, in high school, gosh, I can't think of the name of the show right now, but I played the inspector in some murder mystery.
Okay.
You know, it was fun. It was great. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah, your turn.
You know, I grew up in Destin.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't have theater. Mm-hmm. In Destin. Mm-hmm. I do remember I took ballet when I was really little. From Bernadette Clemens, when she used to teach at the Destin Community Center, and I would uh-huh. take a ballet class there from her. And then I remember as a child, she ended up moving her classes to where they are now at the school.
Okay.
In Fort Walton.
Yes.
I think. But yeah, so that was when I was a child, I didn't know what I wanted as a child, but now I look back on it. This is mm-hmm. theater is what I wanted.
Uh-huh.
I wanted.
You just didn't know.
I didn't know. I mean,
the name for it.
I love stories, and I love color and art, and I love working with my hands, and mm-hmm. I love people, and all those things are what make theater so special. And those are all the things that I wanted as a child. And so I really, really, when I was younger, I was like, I can't wait to get out of here. I want to be in a city. I want to be where all the action is.
Uh-huh.
I want to be where all the things are happening. And I think I did maybe, I was involved maybe a little bit in a play when I was in high school once, but it didn't click for me that's what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I even went on to get my undergraduate degree in English literature because mm-hmm. stories.
Right.
And then when I was out of undergrad and just living my life, that's when I fell in love with what, and I discovered, okay, this is what I really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that was going to be my path. And so then I ended up going back to get my master's in theater so that I could really dig into it. And so I guess, I mean, well, if I think back to the high school play that I was in, it was called Up the Down Staircase.
Okay.
And I was one of the students in the classroom.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even remember what the name of my character was, but that, I guess that would have been the first thing that I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, unless you count the Christmas pageants we did at my church.
Right.
And that would be the other.
Okay.
I was the littlest angel.
Aw.
Yes. And so that maybe that would have been like your Farmer McGregor.
Yeah.
I was probably about three.
Yeah.
So.
That's cute. What would you say now, and maybe this is a role that you have done or have not, but what would be your like dream role to play on stage?
Wow. I thought I was going to have to play Daddy Warbucks, but
yeah.
Fortunately we found someone just in time.
Real close to seeing him on stage for Annie.
I don't know that would be... you know, Jordan, I have hopped on stage a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the 13 years of ECTC. I had a great time with my buddy Jason Hedden, who's also board president with Popcorn Falls and Odd Couple. I really I've always seen Emerald Coast Theater Company as a land of opportunity. So my joy now is really in the producing artistic director seat. You know, I get to be creative when I step in, like I am directing Mystic Pizza and, you know, directed Beautiful and I, you know, as a director. So I get to be creative in that way. But if you think about the whole mission and everything that I do, it's really being a part of these opportunities, whether it's children or that student from college that ECTC is their first paid professional acting gig, you know, getting to work with people like Darla and Bruce, who are at the other end of their spectrum of, you know, and fully committed to Emerald Coast Theater Company and being a part of shows. I don't know that I have a dream role that I'm like really wanting to.
That's your dream.
Yeah. But
that's amazing.
Seeing people take it, like Maggie, take advantage of the opportunities that we're attempting to create.
Right.
And seeing, I mean, 21 callbacks, that's where she's taken advantage of opportunities here, and it's opened up a world of opportunities for her.
And that's on her and her hard work, you know?
Well, and on you guys for creating the environment where that can happen.
Yeah, I mean, sure. So. But man, I'm so proud of her.
Yeah. So those are the full circle moments that that's the role I get to have. And I'm happy in that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Same. So, I mean, he really said it well, but I will say when I was in graduate school, I was studying acting. I was focused on acting mostly. Mm-hmm. And then I was doing some lab work in the costume department. And I was like, wait a minute, I really like this better. Uh-huh. And so I did study acting and all of those things. And I did, you know, I did some work on stage and on film and all of that. But I really started to enjoy the production side of things. Mm-hmm. And I really, directing, I really love all the things that happen off stage are the things that I truly enjoy more than being on stage.
Okay.
So, I would say the same. I like being a producer. I like doing whatever needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get to, I always like to say, we get to see the children grow up.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of times they'll start with us in, you know, as 5 or 6 years old, you know, and then now we have students that are producing even locally and, you know, because they've been a part of the ECTC and we get to see that progression of maybe the shyness and, you know, in the self-discovery to, you know, I even think of Evie Little, you know, and you know, seeing remembering early days when she was in Snow White and, you know, but then most recently just shining in productions, you know, that's fun.
Yeah, it is. It's very cool to see everything that you're doing here, especially now that my nieces are getting involved. So there's like Millie and Elsie are in Annie coming up. And so I've seen more of the student productions, which I hadn't really done before. So that was really cool for me. But let's talk a little bit about season 14, if you can. If you can give us a little scoop on what you have coming up for that.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yes. We're launching the season with Come From Away.
Okay.
Which is just an incredible story. It's based from 9/11, but it's not about 9/11. Mm-hmm. It's about the little town of Gander, Newfoundland, that suddenly was in a position to support and be hospitable to thousands of people that were stranded because the airspace was closed. So it is everything that's ECTC, just loving and uplifting and inspiring. So that's launching the season. And then 39 Steps, which is a hilarious adaptation from Hitchcock's murder mystery. You know, we know our audience loves a good murder mystery, so we're bringing that.
It's a farce. I mean, it's funny.
Lots
it's
of fun. Yeah, that'll there's fun. Two clown characters that play a gazillion different characters.
Okay.
So, and then you've got two main characters. So lots of action, lots of fun with that one. Christmas?
Are you throwing it?
I'm throwing it. Yeah, okay. I'm tossing it.
Okay. So for Christmas, we're doing Million Dollar Quartet Christmas, which, to be clear, it's not the same show as Million Dollar Quartet.
Okay.
It's a totally different show, and it's Christmas focused.
Mm-hmm.
So all your favorite Christmas songs, and the four characters that come back are Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, and
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah. Yes. And so I guess we'll have to get a new piano because Jerry Lee Lewis broke the last one.
Oh, no.
He played the heck out of it.
It was awesome. Wow. It was so fun to watch.
R.I.P. Yeah.
Well, hey, if you're a piano, that's the way you want to go out, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then in January of 2027, we've got 9 to 5, the musical. Of course, everyone knows that because of Dolly Parton. So it's our little shout out to Dolly all the great music in 9 to 5.
Got to get her in here.
I know. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
Let's just call her up.
Yeah. We can try. Dolly, we need you to come see 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Well, she's got her pirate show over in Panama City Beach. So she's been down, you know.
And then we've got a romantic comedy called Dear Jack, Dear Louise, which is a really fun two-handler. It's love. It's two people falling in love through letters. And it's just
World War II. So set during that time period. And they write letters to each other and they never actually talk to each other in person.
Okay.
So it's a really unusual way to tell a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then our final production, I'm handing it back to you.
You're throwing it back to me.
Yeah.
Our final production is...
Frozen.
Frozen! Oh, okay. That was a dramatic pause.
Yeah, it's...
I know.
For those of you just listening and not watching, that was a dramatic pause. Yes, Frozen, which I am very excited about. Yes.
That'll be really fun.
And oh my goodness, we had our little Mini Steps ballet class showcase yesterday. These are little four-year-old baby ballerinas, and they're so precious. And they did a dance to Let It Go.
Okay.
And I was just in the corner sobbing.
Aww.
Just, I was like, don't mind me. I'm just going to stand over here and cry because it was the most precious thing. So anyway, I cannot wait.
Just getting ready.
The kids, oh my gosh, they're going to love it.
Is that one going to be a full professional production?
Yes.
And are you going to do the junior version as well, or
we probably will soon after. I don't think we've decided our education shows for next year, but maybe that summer or sometime around there, because I mean, kind of like what we did with Annie, it's so fun for parents to be able to bring their children to the main stage show, the professional show, but then to give that child an opportunity to be in it is we'll probably be doing that.
Very cool. Well, that's exciting. When are auditions?
Auditions for all the adult roles, I think, are in mid-May. We're about we're picking that date, and we'll be announcing that soon. Auditions for the children roles in Frozen probably won't be until like November or December. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we'll have those auditions, we'll have those picked by the end of December. And so in January, the two child roles, we'll probably double cast again, like we did with Annie.
Right.
We'll start those rehearsals in January for the production to go up in May.
Okay. And so for people in the community who want to get involved or want to be on stage, the adult, like you said, adult auditions are in May. That's for the entire season.
Yes.
So how does that work? Like if someone wanted to come audition?
On our website, we actually have a Work With Us page. They can go on there and sign up for our audition newsletter. And so anytime we're casting, we always send that out. And it'll have all the information of what the date time, what we would expect from the audition, and then for our out of town, you know, we don't expect everybody to be able to drive into town, you know, so we do accept video auditions submissions, and so that email will have all of that detailed information.
Mm-hmm. And then I know you also have, you know, you have a lot of people from out of town or professional actors that come in. For a lot of the shows, do they go through that same audition process and then you choose? Okay.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if you like recruited some people as well or if it was
So that's a good question too, because a lot of people think, oh, you brought this group in and they're performing the show. No, we put everything together here. So, we'll take some people who are locals. We'll take people who are from out of town. Really just trying to find the right person for the roles. And so if that means we have to bring 12 people in from out of town, then we have to do that. We love casting locals, and so we always want to do that too. But our goal is always to cast the right person that fits the role for the show. And so I will say too, we're always looking for housing for these actors.
For out of town actors.
Contact Anna Fisher.
And they are, I mean, and they're professional actors, like you said. Like, they've been on stage in bigger areas, they've been on cruise ships, like they've directed things for you as well as been on stage. So it's a full on like professional production. I don't want people to think it's just like, you know, sometimes community theater feels like it's small, but it's not.
It's fun to see the synergy that happens between bringing in out of town actors and using locals. You know, it's what's fun about theater, and we see this across the board from our teen program on Saturdays to even, you know, it's like an immediate community. You know, it's like if you're in theater, you're accepted. And so we start rehearsals for our professional productions, typically around 2.5 weeks before opening, you know, and it's like immediately, you know, we've got locals showing the out-of-towners where the best beach is, or, you know, where to go get, you know,
a cheap taco,
you know, stuff like that. Yeah. So it's really cool. And we've had out-of-town actors quite often say that they love working here because it's unique in that way, and that they really feel the camaraderie. And not only from our team, but also from the community. You know, our audiences, you go to a major market, a lot of times the audiences will, as soon as the curtain call happens, they're scooting out to get to their car to put, but here the audience stays and they share that moment of applause and appreciation. And we've actually had an actor say, wow, your audience, they stick around. And like,
yeah, they want to meet everyone, take photos.
Yeah. So like, that's a lot of fun.
Good job. Yeah. And you're doing things not just here as well. I mean, speaking of being out in the community, you're actors and you are out doing events and shows in other places. So how does that happen?
We have a great partnership with Seaside, the town of Seaside, and of course, Graham Boulevard. So you see some of our stuff happening out of the Fountain Stage. Currently, we've got a 50-minute adaptation of William Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
That's at 6 o'clock out at the Seaside Amphitheater. And we've got a different show that's in the works for this coming summer. So that's been a great partnership. Also, Hammock Bay and Freeport. We do have a satellite program for education program there, and a Funiac Springs. Our heart really is for the, you know, we're Emerald Coast Theater Company, you know, that we really do want to serve the entire county and neighboring, you know, Bay and Ogallala as well, to give children and even adults access to the arts.
How do you do it all?
Our team.
It's a lot.
We have a whole staff of people. I mean, I wish I could have them all here with us, because really it's all of us working together.
And
they work so hard. Every single person on our staff, they're so passionate. Nobody is here punching a clock. They are here pouring their heart and their soul into everything they do. And that is why we are where we are at. It is because of the people that we work with. And I am getting choked up even thinking about it, just because I'm so grateful for what they give every day and what they do every day. And I just want to give them
they deserve the standing ovation.
They really do. And I mean, you know, sound engineers don't get standing ovations, and and you know, prop artists and mm-hmm. and the costume designers mm-hmm. and the set directors and the set, you know, and the right. lighting designer. I mean, these are the people who make the magic happen. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to say from now on, all those standing ovations are for them.
Yes.
And the actors.
They are.
But it's it really is for, I mean, they are truly, truly mm-hmm. incredible, exceptional people to work with.
The way I like to frame it is, you know, we had a dream. And so we kind of just put our foot out there, and the community was like, yes, mm-hmm. we want this dream, mm-hmm. you know. But then when you have that two people, then when you have another person that comes along and has that same dream, and then another person comes along and has right. the same dream.
Right.
So you don't have just two dreamers. You know, we uh-huh. we have the humble honor of being the founders, but we exist because of the 10 to 20 people mm-hmm. that have come alongside us, and they dream with us, and they're passionate. They're passionate about the kids. They're passionate about how we serve our community, even with the professional programming. And the amount of passion that's in this building, mm-hmm. it just, yeah. I mean, it could vibrate all the uh-huh, time, I yeah. think. Uh-huh.
It's a million dreams, right?
It is a million dreams.
That song from The Greatest Showman. I love how y'all always weave that into your mission. Yeah. And it's such a perfect sort of summation of everything, like you said. Yeah. I know that this is the V Book Club podcast, which we really want to celebrate all types of storytelling. So I have a lot of different kinds of guests, not just actors mm-hmm. or people involved with books. But I do like to ask everyone, what is your favorite book?
That's so hard.
I know, I'm putting you on the spot.
What a tough question.
My favorite book I've ever read was A Prayer for Owen Meany by John mm-hmm. Irving. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the thing that's special about that is Owen Meany was weird.
Yeah.
Odd. But he knew his life had a purpose. He didn't know what the purpose was, but he knew that he was short and had a squeaky voice for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the wonderful thing about the book is you see both the joy and the tragic part of what that purpose was.
Okay.
And so, I think for some reason,
it should be,
you know. I think there's something that in my youth that, I think I read that when I was a early active professional actor, so mm-hmm. maybe early 20s.
Okay.
And there was just something about that spoke to me. So that's my favorite.
No, that's a great
book.
Answer.
Yeah. You're up.
Oh, man.
Lit major.
Right.
Let's go.
That's so hard. I'll just give you the answer I usually give when people ask me that. 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez mm-hmm. is one of my absolute favorite books because it reminds me of my hometown. So the story is basically about this tiny little town called Macondo, which is in South America somewhere. Uh-huh. And they're very, very isolated. And the story covers 100 years of the people who live there and their families and their legacy and how the town changes as it grows and becomes, and more people from the outside come in and introduce more things. And it has an element of magic realism to it, which mm-hmm. I find really interesting. Mm-hmm. But it reminds me of Destin, you know, and it reminds me of almost of my childhood growing up and how
watching
tiny
it grow.
And isolated it was. And it's definitely not that now. But it equates on a lot of levels. So,
I love that. Yeah, I'm going to put both of those on my reading list for sure. Well, I'm so excited to be here today and to see everything you have coming up this year. Is there anything else you want to share before we sort of wrap up? Any secrets, stories?
We should tell the story about the elephant and piggy story that we told you.
Oh,
earlier. Yeah. This is a recent thing that happened, but it happened yesterday, and mm-hmm. it was probably going to be one of my favorite stories ever that I'll tell. So we had our little, I already mentioned them before, our little baby ballerinas were here. And then directly after their class, our tap class is happening with Emily, who's our fantastic choreographer. Mm-hmm. And the tap class is usually mostly like middle to high school kids, okay? So the little baby ballerinas are walking out and the tap class students are walking in. And Faith Faith, who was in Elephant and Piggy, she was Piggy. Okay. Uh-huh. So the little baby ballerina is walking past her and she goes, oh, were you an Elephant and Piggy? And Faith was like, yes. And she goes, you're Piggy. And Faith was like, yes. And she's like, can I get a picture with you? Oh. It was the sweetest thing I've ever seen. That converging of like the age when you're just starting out and then the age where you're on the cusp of finishing your student era education here at ECTC. But she's just starting out too, because she's going to move on to study theater and be on stage.
Right.
And so it was like such a beautiful parallel. And just that moment was, I will never forget that.
I love that.
I will treasure it.
That's so cute.
I think I'm so grateful, Jordan. You know, I'm thankful to have this opportunity to share our heart for this community and even to the community. You know, you think there's a need, you think there's a desire, and you're not sure, you know, so you put it out there, and over and over the community has resoundingly said, yes, we want this. And the growth of ECTC is because the community has, you know, we've got an increasing amount, and it's we're so grateful for, you know, VIP members and sponsors and the people that go above and beyond and donate to help us really serve our community with excellence.
Right.
And so we continue to dream. We continue to have goals, you know, and the more the area expands, we are seeing growth here at ECTC, and we're thankful, you know, and for those people that are going above and beyond and supporting us through donations and help. And we just want to continue serving this community with excellence through the art of theater.
Yeah. Well, we're grateful to have you here. And we didn't even talk about, like, it is a nonprofit. So you do rely on those donations and, you know, the tuitions from the summer camps and the kids programs, and every ticket sale is helping you just to be able to do what you do. So that's so important, I think, to let everyone know. So yeah, just everyone go online, check out what's coming up, donate, volunteer, whatever. We're just so excited to see everything else that you're going to do in your next 13, 14 years here. So thank you so much for being here today. And I hope everyone enjoys this episode, and tune in next time for V Book Club Podcast. Okay, thank you.